I want to thank, of course, the pastors for allowing me. It's always an honor to be able to preach the Word of God. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to kick off the I Have a Friend series by God's grace and wisdom. All right, I shall attempt to answer some of these questions and hopefully give some insights. I think some of these things may not be new, but probably to give us a bit more in-depth understanding of some of these questions that we have. So today, before I start, I have to say this. I have to come clean, lah. Disclaimer first. In my preparation for this particular topic, with, of course, God's strength and wisdom, I must thank God for God's grace and wisdom, but I also must thank modern technology, because this time around, I actually look up resources to share and to hopefully decipher some of these things and to present it better lah. Alright, so if you have any questions at the end of the session, you can come and talk to me, or preferably come and talk to Pastor Ewell lah. Okay? Alright, so my topic today is, I have a friend who finds it difficult to identify with the church and get rooted in. This basically deals with two major aspects. Alright, the first part is church identity, and the second part is Christian fellowship. Now, how many of us have been in the situation whereby we cannot decide which church to go? Anybody? No? Got it? Or don't dare admit? Okay, I have been in that situation where I cannot decide. Alright, for various reasons. And I'm sure for those of us who have been in the situation, you know, some of the common reasons that we can come up with is, ayo, you know, the teaching maybe not, you know, deep enough, or the worship style, not my style, or the people there, you know, all talk Hokkien one, I cannot speak Hokkien, how to join them. You know, all these kind of various, reasons. But at the core of such statements that you make, the core of such questions that you come up with, the essence of those questions that you have, you know, how do you find a church that is suitable for you? The question that we have to really ask is, what exactly are we looking for when it comes to searching and identifying with a particular church? All right, what are the key things that we want to pick out or zoom in on when we are looking for a church? Alright, so those are the things that we want to try and decipher today. But we have to take a step back a bit more. We have to backtrack a bit, one more step, and to answer this question. Alright, and I want to answer the second part of today's topic. Okay, today's topic is, I have a friend who finds it difficult to identify with a church and get rooted in. Alright, but I want to answer the second question first, which is, is it essential to get rooted into a church in the first place? Alright? Some of us may have that, especially now, modern day, we are living in a, you know, very liberal world today, postmodernistic thinking. Alright? So anything also can. And nowadays, some people say, you know, you don't have to be rooted in a church. As long as you are a believer, or some, nowadays they have this podcast, right? At home, Sunday, you just watch the video and then that's considered going to church lah. So is it essential to get rooted in a church in the first place? Alright, so we have to answer that question first. So today I'm going to split into a couple of sections. So the first section, the question number one that we want to answer is it important for us to become a member of a local church? Alright, is it important? Basically, the question is the same as, is it important to get rooted in a church? Alright, so is it important for us, for you, for me, to become a member of a local church? Alright, to do this, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12, very familiar passage again. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Can we have it in NKJV? Do we have it? All right, JC, read out loud. Okay, thank you. All right, it's interesting, because this passage, it uses NKJV version, it uses the word member. All right, now all of us here are a member of some sort of organization, one way or another. All right, we are a member of a club in school, society. All right, we are a member of, how many of you are, Nessa must promote a bit, how many of you here are GSN Climbing Club? Yeah, one by one, slowly. Okay, so you all must join GSN Climbing Club. Alright? So some of us are in a member of GSN Climbing Club. Alright? Then some of us are members of Floorball Club. Okay, so we have Spearhead, Savers, Contact. Anybody? Did I miss anybody? Okay, that's about it. Alright? So all of us are associated to some sort of organization or club. But what does it mean to be a member? Right? What does it mean to be a member? Okay, why is it so important to become a member? And, you know, some of us here are involved in floorball, climbing and all that. And I manage a club, and every year we have this what we call a transfer window season or period, where, you know, players are free to decide which club they want to go to, and then they sign up. And the task of the team, the task of the manager is a bit stressful that time, because you have to rally or get as many players to sign up with your club, and make sure that they are a member, official member of, you know, Spearhead or Sabres or Contact. And at the essence of that, if you look at it, why is it so important for someone to be a member of something? At the core of that thing is basically this word, commitment. Right? Alright? You want to be a member of something. If you want to be a member of something, you have to commit to that thing, to the organization. Alright? A member is somebody who, whether by signature or word of commitment or promise, says, I'm committed to a group of people. Alright? I'm committed to a club. I'm committed to my family. I'm committed to this church and be part of this vision and this ministry. Alright? You want to be a member of something because you want to commit into something. Alright? So, here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he uses the word member, of the body. And those commitments, okay, like I mentioned just now, commitment to the people, commitment to the ministry, commitment to the vision, those commitments are what membership is. And I want us to look at also at Acts chapter 2. We cannot run away whenever we talk about church. We have to come back to Acts chapter 2. Verse 42 onwards. Alright, it says here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, if we read, you know, if we are believers and we read this passage, and we say, I believe in the New Testament. You know, I believe in this ex-church, okay, the early church, okay, I believe that we have to be part of a community, as in Acts 2. Give yourself to ministering, you know, give yourself, devoting yourself to one another. If we say all these things and we agree with all these things, but we don't want to be a member of a church, then the equation doesn't tally. Alright, if we say we believe in the Word and the New Testament, and especially in the early church, how they run church, then biblically, the right answer would be, I want to be a member of a local church. Alright? It should persuade you and convince your heart to be a member of a local church. Alright, so the question to whether we should be a member of a local church, the answer is, you know, should be yes lah. Alright, all of us know that that is the answer. But a lot of us don't want to commit to a local church for various reasons. Okay, could be commitment issues. Alright, could be, you know, the people there, you know, don't tak ngam with you. Alright, nowadays we have all these kind of issues that hinders people from making that commitment. And in both Colossians and Ephesians, it talks about Christ being the head over the church. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the local church. Okay, if in Ephesians and Colossians, the writer talks about the universal church. Alright, and a lot of Christians nowadays say that as long as you are part of the universal church, then it's okay. Alright, I'm part of the universal church. That's why we have things like, you know, people watching podcasts at home on Sunday. And then, you know, they say, I'm part of the universal church, and that's enough. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's very clear that although there, yes, there is a place for this thing called the universal church where we are all under the headship of Christ, all the believers are under the headship of Christ, but here it also talks about the local church, the importance of the local church. So in 1 Corinthians 12, if we continue reading, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. Alright, so what it says is basically this. Okay, if your ear is hurt for some reason, alright, your hand will want to do something to put a bandage or something. Right? You would want to care for your other parts of your body. Alright, so, in light of that, when we talk about being member of a local church, it talks about caring for one another as well. It talks about the commitment that we give to one another in that specific church. If you are not part of a floorball club, for example, okay, if I wanna play floorball, but I'm not part of any club, then the question is, who develops you? Who has the authority to develop you? No one, right? Alright, no one can come up to you, hey, JC, you know, the way you catch the ball wrong. Okay, or, you know, Termin, you cannot squat. Okay, must teach you the squat. Nobody can go to, you know, Termin and say that, right? Because you don't have authority over him. But if you are under the church or under a club, then the leaders or the church or the club has authority to govern you, has the authority to develop you, has the authority to care for you, to shepherd you. Alright, and that is what Acts in the early church did. The reason why they gathered together is because of the accountability, that coming together, that union and the communion with one another. And to say that, yes, they want to care for one another for the purpose of God's kingdom. So, if you're not part of a local church, who can care for you? Who's supposed to care for you? I mean, anyone can care for you, but the covering, there's no covering that comes upon you to ensure that you grow, to ensure that your walk with God is right, to ensure that you fulfill the purpose and the calling that God has placed in your life. So the local church is important for your benefit and for the benefit of the universal church as well. Alright, so if we have to answer the question, you know, the Bible never say, or never put clearly that says, you know, you must be part of a local church. Alright? Thou shall be part of a local church. No part of the Bible says that. Alright? But it is clearly implied, in Acts, in Corinthians, in the New Testament, that we all need to be part of a community of believers. Alright? Even if you look at, the epistles, alright? All the epistles are made up of communities, at different locations. And all of them have different function or different issues, different strength, different weaknesses. All right, but they are all part of a community, of a local community of believers. So is it important for us to be a member of a local church? The answer should be yes. All right, the answer should be yes. All right, so for those of us who struggle with this, I want to challenge you guys to really think and pray about settling in. Alright, so the next question you're going to ask, okay, if you agree with me, yes, it's part, you know, it's important to be part of a local church, then the next question you may ask me is, but what do I look for? Alright, and that's the next question that we'll try to hopefully give some insights and maybe help you to decipher. Question 2. What exactly are we looking for when it comes to searching and identifying with a particular church? Alright, what are we actually looking for? What are the key things that we have to look for? Alright, what are the essentials to look out for? And if we read from Acts chapter 2, I want to take it from there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So I want to break this up into 3. So if you are wondering, you know, what are the key things that we should look for whenever you are, you know, searching for a church? Alright, maybe some of you may be moving to somewhere else, relocate to another place, and you are in the process of looking for a church. I don't know. Alright, there are 3 things that I think is important. It says here that, they devoted themselves to, the apostles' teaching. I break that as the apostles' teaching as, beliefs. Alright, doctrinal beliefs, the core essentials. Alright, and then it says, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Alright, and that's the second point. If you're looking for a church, the second important thing you need to look for is the fellowship. Alright, whether in that church, it's a place for you to grow. I will slowly break that down later on. And then the third thing, it says, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Alright, I break this part as vision and ministry. Alright, the vision and the ministry of the church. First thing, beliefs or doctrinal beliefs. You want to be a bit more Christianish, okay? We use the word doctrinal or theological beliefs. Alright, it says here that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teachings. The first key thing and most direct thing to look for if you're looking for a church is the beliefs of the church. Alright? The doctrinal beliefs of the church. That is the foundation. The church exists based on the foundation of the word. Alright, and if the church holds on to certain beliefs that are not aligned with the word, then it's very clear that that church is not right for you. Alright? So we have to be able to look at the church and say, you know, what are their core beliefs? What are the non-negotiables, the essential beliefs of the church? The church is Christ's government on earth, and therefore it must exist and function in accordance to the word of God. Alright? The establishment of churches must be found based on the truth of the word. Alright? Everything that the church does must be aligned with the word. It's the basic of basics. Now, you may ask me, so what are those doctrinal beliefs? Alright? Okay, if you ask me that question, it's really long, okay? And so I asked Pastor Ed how to answer that if they ask me this question, okay? So, the basic one, okay, the most basic one is, you know the song, This I Believe, right? I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the, our God is. Okay, you know that song, right? Okay, that song consists of all the basic core doctrinal beliefs. Alright? The most basic one, okay, of course there are many other things. Alright? That song consists of all the core beliefs that a church should hold on to. The non-negotiables. Alright? The essential beliefs of the word. So, next time if people ask you, just remember that song. Okay? The Apostles' Creed. If you want to find out in detail what GCC doctrinal beliefs are, don't ask me, ask Pastor Ed. Okay? You can ask me lah, but I may not be able to answer everything lah. It's in the website. Okay? Second part. So, the first thing you want to look out for is the beliefs, the core beliefs of the church. Alright? The second part is perhaps the thing that we nowadays look for the most, which is fellowship. Now, what does fellowship mean? Fellowship essentially means a partnership to the mutual benefit of those involved. Alright? There must be a mutual benefit. It's not, you know, I sapu everything in our relationship, you know, I receive only. Alright? But it's a mutual benefit. Okay, you gain, I gain. You receive, I receive. You give, I give. There must be a mutual benefit of those involved. A partnership requires commitment. Alright, so fellowship talks about partnership. Alright, and partnership talks about commitment. Alright, and it comes back to one circle right now. Alright, that is why we need to be committed to a local church. Because in that body of Christ, there must be fellowship. And fellowship is about partnership. Alright, fellowship is about mutual benefit between those who are involved. In Malaysia, in Penang especially, churches often associate, jokingly, okay, I'm sure all this is out of, you know, jester, alright? Churches often say that, you know, fellowship is makan time. Okay, means the makan time is the fellowship. In GCC, last time we say we serve the best coffee. Alright, I think we still serve the best coffee, just that now, no place to serve, huh? Okay? We serve the best coffee, and that is the fellowship time. But if you look at the early church in Acts, fellowship meant something deeper than just coming together, just, you know, coming together, eating, talking, and catching up with one another. Alright, if you look at Acts 2, the early church, and you dig deeper, the central figure of that fellowship begins and ends with Christ. Alright, why do you think they're so willing to sell everything? I mean, nobody in the right mind would sell everything, lah. Okay, they sold everything. Alright, for the benefit of the community. Because they understood they were in fellowship with Christ. And they understood the essence of what it means to be in partnership with one another, be in partnership with Christ. But nowadays, we have sort of diluted the value of Christian fellowship, all right, by associating it with merely, not that it's wrong, all right, but, you know, makan time is fellowship, all right, church time is listening to sermon, you know, church time is, you know, taking down notes, make sure that, you know, I get everything what the pastor say. You know, fellowship is when we go out, hang out, that is fellowship. It is fellowship, but if we can embrace and rethink what it means in, you know, trace back at the early church, what it means for them to say that Christian fellowship, what Christian fellowship is, and take that to our context right now, then we value fellowship more than just a makan session, more than just, you know, going for a movie. All right, so when we talk about fellowship, a lot of us, you know, we ask this question, you want to go visit another church, or we ask, hey, who's in that church? Huh? Ruben will be there or not? You know, JC will be there or not? JC not there, ah, yeah, don't want to go lah. You know, nowadays, that is sort of that's the trend lah. I don't know, I think so lah. Okay, you must follow a friend. Alright, but if we understand what it means to be fellowship, the key thing, the foundation of Christian fellowship, it begins and ends with Christ. So if we keep that in mind, it shouldn't matter where we have fellowship. Alright, let me give you a very, very good example. Live example. Look at Aliang. Okay, look at Aliang. He don't speak, Aliang, huh? My good friend. Okay, you look at Aliang. He comes in week in, week out. He cannot speak English at all. Alright, so he's limited to the number of people that he can speak. Alright, but if you look at his heart and you talk to him, he has this childlike faith, wanting to be in fellowship with God's people and with God. And that is why he is here. He don't really care whether he can speak, but he enjoys the fellowship first with God and then with the people here. Alright, so that is what it means to be in fellowship. So we have to get that right first. So sometimes, you know, if you're looking for church, don't look for, ayo, who's there? You know, got friends there or not? Or, you know, what they do there? Whether old people, young people, lah, this type of question, this type of thing also come out nowadays. Whether got youth there, you know, young adults there. But you ask the key question, where is your heart in terms of fellowship? Alright? So a fellowship, when you come to a church, there must be a fellowship that is Christ-centered. Alright? A fellowship that is founded upon growth, serving. The second one, the church must have a fellowship that is founded upon growth and serving one another. Hebrews 10, 24. Okay, very familiar passage. Hebrews 10, 24, it says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, it's interesting that the first part of this verse, the writer of the book instruction was to stir one another. All right, to stir one another, or to encourage one another to love and good works. Then only he says, not neglecting to meet. So it seems almost as if he's saying that, you know, the most important thing is not the coming together. Alright, it's important. But the most important thing is whenever you meet, whether it's every day, one day, 2 days, the most important thing is whenever you are in contact with somebody, alright, your fellow believers, there must be the spurring, the encouraging of one, the building up of one another. All right. So in a church, if you are looking for a church, you must find a place or a place where you are able to grow in fellowship with the people there. All right. You must be, again, not just find a place that you can receive, but you can give as well. All right. You cannot be in a church and just receiving. You must give. All right. That is the function of being part and parcel of the church and be in fellowship. It's a mutual benefit. Okay? In GCC, one of our core mission, all right? Okay, this one must test a bit. Okay, what are our four mission? JC? Come on. Radical faith. Relevant approach. Relation connection. Reshaping foundation. Alright, good. Okay. Alright, so one of our key mission statement is relational connection. Alright, and that is, I believe, how we birth forth connect groups. Alright, connect groups where we want to do exactly that, to spur one another and to connect with one another. Getting every member of the church connected with one another. Our hope is that it will become a culture, not merely a commandment. Alright? One of the toughest things that I guess the leaders, the staff, the pastors has to do is to make it a culture whereby in our church, people can just connect with one another. It's not really an Asian culture, okay, to go up someone and say, hey, I want to get to know you, blah, blah, blah. But we want, that's the thing that we want to look. That is the culture that we want to set in our church to create that atmosphere of fellowship where people are comfortable. All right, so today we have so many visitors. All right, we have... let me get this, their names right. Asher, right now. Asher, right. Philip. I forgot your name. Aaron and Joash. Alright? So we have visitors today. So the question is, how are we connected to these guys? Okay? Are we making initiative to be in fellowship with these guys? And that's the challenge that we have. And we want to create that sort of culture whereby people can just come. And that's exactly how the early church were. Alright, they were so tight together that they are willing to just share the possession. Alright, they are so willing to share their lives. Alright, their lives are almost as if intertwined together. So if you are looking for a church, you must be in a church whereby you can receive and you can give that sort of commitment. That sort of devotion to one another. Okay? You know, incidentally, Friday night, we had our usual single adults connect group and young adult connect group gathering. And this time we had it combined and merged together. And Pastor Ed shared also from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And it re-emphasize the importance of staying connected by cultivating a habit of encouraging and spurring one another. I don't know. Okay, I may be wrong. I'm not accusing any church, but I'm saying generally. All right, generally, in at least in the setting that I've been, there are not many places. Organization, Christian organization, churches that develop a culture of, you know, going to up to someone and encouraging the person, spurring the person on, giving a word of affirmation. And if you look at the New Testament, that is a very important part. All right, Paul re-emphasized that so many times, okay, to encourage, to spur, to, you know, push one another. All right, and that is what Christian fellowship should be. Alright, that's what Christian fellowship should be. So you must be able to give encouragement and you must be able to receive as well. This is what I say when I say we want to cultivate cultures, not just taking commands lah. Alright? Every week we can say, okay, come everybody, let's turn up, you know, go up to 3% and encourage 3%. Every week we can say that. But it must be a culture that we develop. Whether, you know, we say it or we don't say it, you know, if you see there's a place for affirmation to take place, then give that person the affirmation. Give that person the encouragement and that spurring. Alright? It does something to the spirit. It does something to the fellowship and the coming together of believers. Okay? So, that's the challenge for us. Every week you come, you know, just think, you know, or just be aware. If somebody did something really good, encourage the person. Alright? Affirm the person. The third thing, alright, if you're looking for a church, the third thing that we need to look for is the vision of the church. Okay, Acts 2, it says in verse 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe, or in NKJV it says fear. Alright, everyone was filled with fear, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Why did they use the word fear or awe? Alright, I asked this question, why did they use the word fear or awe? I believe that this fear comes from a reverent fear. Alright, means they know who God is. They understood this being and they are fearful for Him, for who He is. Not the, you know, yes, you know, the scared kind of fear, but also the rest. The kind of fear that because you want to honor Him, you want to respect Him. Alright, the kind of fear where you go to the king, you know, you are fearful of him because of his position and authority. Alright? And because of this fear, it says that then fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done. So because of this fear, many wonders and signs were done. In other words, I take it also as this, okay? Because of a reverent fear of God, a certain conviction comes upon the apostle or the church. Alright? And therefore it will birth out a certain vision or ministry. Alright? And it says, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Okay? Then fear came upon every soul and many signs and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So because of this reverent fear, a vision is birthed out. And every church, every local church, if you look at the epistles as well, every local community of believers coming together, all the churches plays different role. Alright, they hold different vision. Alright, and the vision of GCC is JC. Hi, never listen. The vision of the church is, alright, the vision of GCC is empowering the generations, impacting the nations. Alright, that is what we believe. So in GCC, we believe that, you know, we want to empower everyone for the cause of Christ. Alright, so every church have a different vision, different focus God has placed there. Alright, through the pastors, through the leaders, through the elders there. Alright, and if you are looking for a church, then we have to know the vision of the church. Alright, we have to look at it and say, you know, is this something that, you know, compels me to be part of this church? Does this compel me to want to run with the church? Just a couple of weeks during our staff and devotion time, I posed a question to the staff and I said this, you know, I gave them 1 week. I said, in 1 week, think and write out your life vision statement. Alright? What do you believe God has called you to do? Alright? Your life vision statement. And then after that, we come together, we share and things like that. And then after that, I challenged them. I said, now you look at your life vision statement. How does that align together with the vision of the church? How does your presence or your you being a member of GCC or, you know, any other church, release you to lift up the vision of the church? to uphold the vision of the church. Alright, if you are part of the church, then you must embrace the vision of the church. Alright, if Reuben comes to spearhead, alright, he must embrace the culture that the team manager sets. Alright, if Termin comes to spearhead next year, you know, just saying. Okay, if Termin comes to spearhead next year, alright, you know, he cannot override me, okay, he must be able to run with the vision of spearhead. Okay, likewise, if I were to go to some other club, okay, I cannot, you know, bring, I can try to, but at the end of the day, it's a prerogative of the church. And we have to align ourselves to the vision. Alright, so if you're looking for a church, you have to understand the vision of the church. And then ask yourself, you know, what is your calling in life? What God has placed the burden in your heart and your spirit? And how does that merge together, intertwine together with the vision of the church? So perhaps, you know, I posed this question to the staff, and I want to challenge all of us to think about that. Okay, what is your vision statement? What is your vision statement? All right, take this 1 week, you know, really think about it. And I challenge them to write it out, okay? Be specific, write it out. And then, you know, as we grow in spirit, we may need to tweak a bit, which is fine. All right, but we begin somewhere. So write it down and then ask yourself, move to the next level and ask yourself, how does this vision statement, how can I intertwine this together with the vision of the church? And, you know, together, in partnership with the church, having this mutual benefit, lift ourselves up together. It means lift one another up as you lift yourself up to the next level in your walk with God. Now, like it or not, chances is your church may not be entirely what you want it to be. Alright? You go to any church. Alright? You go to any church. Chances is there's something about the church that you just, this one is not my thing. Alright? Maybe you come to GC and say, I don't know lah. No drums, for example. Or whatever lah. Okay, something may not satisfy you. And it's a high possibility that will happen if you go to any other church as well. Alright, and a lot of us get into this complaint cycle, okay? We say things like, this or that should be different, okay? So and so should talk less, talk about people. Alright? He or she should be on time, things like all the little things that may frustrate us. And then we get agitated and say, this church may be not for me. But actually, if you think about it, this mode of criticism or this mode of thinking, speaks more about the condition of our heart than it does about the local church. Alright, this sort of thinking, this sort of dissatisfaction, frustration, speaks more about the condition of our hearts than what it talks about the church. Of course, every church is imperfect. Alright, but today I want to end by challenging some of us, if we have not settled into any church, or if we are still struggling to settle in perhaps GCC or any other church. Alright, perhaps it's time for us to evaluate the condition of our hearts. Every church that you go is imperfect. Alright, every church that you go is imperfect. But if we can answer the first question, is it important to be a member of the local church? If your answer is yes, then you have to consider being a member of the church. Alright, and then you look at the other three. What are you looking for? Beliefs. If the church holds to the right teaching, second part, if the fellowship is a place where you can grow, you check it. And if the vision runs, if the vision of the church is something that you can embrace and you can run with, another thing. there will always be imperfections. But chances, a lot of times I say, you know, this season, at least for me, I'm challenging myself to think, okay, you know, instead of complaining, you know, what can I do about it? Instead of complaining, okay, like those of us who handle clubs, instead of saying, ayo, I got so little players, instead of complaining, you got so little players, do something about it. Instead of complaining, why the culture of, you know, this particular group of people are like that, then make a change. If you uphold and you believe that you are part, you need to be part of a local church, then be part of the local church and then contribute. Right? Do something that can benefit the body of Christ together. I want to end by quoting, as I mentioned earlier on, as I begin, some of the resources or some of the things that I share here is based on resources that I got online. Mostly from, if you need to know, John Piper, Desiring God. Good author, good writer. He says here, okay, I'm going to end with this. He says here, it is not only God's word and prayer that are the means of his ongoing grace, but true fellowship among those who have in common true fellowship among those who have in common the one who is grace incarnate. The grace of God cannot be quarantined to individuals. The healthy Christian, introverted or not, of whatever temperaments, in whatever season, seeks not to minimize relationships with his fellow in Christ, but maximize them. Alright, so whatever state you may be in, okay, some of us, you know, we dare to declare, you know, dare to say, ayo, I don't like people, okay, I cannot lah. I'm just not the talking type, you know, I cannot talk. You know, temperament issue, you know, things like that. But it says here that whatever temperament, whether introverted or not, alright, if you are a healthy Christian, alright, you will seek not to minimize relationship with his fellow believers, but maximize them. Alright? God has given us each other in the church, not just for company and co-belligerency. Alright? Not just for company. Okay, a lot of us think God places together is to go out makan, you know, watch movie together, but it's more than that. Alright? God has given us each other in the church, not just for company or co-belligerency, not just to chase away loneliness or lethargy. Alright, maybe some of us come here or, you know, chase a bit because at home very boring lah. Here got friends and come. Alright, it's not just about that. But to be each other an indispensable means of his divine favor. We are for each other an essential element of the good work God has begun in us and promises to bring to completion. In other words, what he says is that we have to exist for the benefit and the growth of the body of Christ. We have to be in fellowship and we have to be plugged in a church for the benefit and the growth of the kingdom of God. Alright, so I know today's topic is very wide and I may not cover everything. I may not hit some of the questions that you have. I hope I provide some insights, and for those of you who may find difficulty in finding a church, I hope some of these things help you have different perspective. Alright? So I want to challenge all of us to, if you're not part of a local church, then consider, alright, take time to pray and plug yourself into a local church. Alright? Gateway City Church will welcome you. It's important, okay, for the benefit, mutual benefit of the body of Christ. Alright, can I pray for all of us? Father, we thank you for your word that is so true, Father Lord. And we know, Father Lord, that the church is established through the foundation of your word, Father Lord. And today we want to ask, Lord, that you grant us the insights and the discernment, Father Lord, for those of us who are searching for a church, for those of us who are, you know, still struggling to settle in, Father Lord. We ask, Lord, that you grant them the wisdom, the discernment, Father Lord, to understand the core beliefs of the church, to understand what it means to be in Christian fellowship, to understand the vision of the church, Father Lord. More importantly, Father, to understand their personal vision in life, the calling that you have placed, and how that intertwines together with the church. So Father, we pray that you would strengthen our fellowship, Father Lord, here even in Gateway City Church, Father Lord, that we would cultivate cultures, Father Lord, not just commands of doing this and doing that, Father Lord, but it would be a culture, Father Lord, for all of us to be able to just connect and stay connected, Father Lord, in the body of Christ for the betterment and for the expansion, Father Lord, of your kingdom. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.